on the line. I have local author Michael Hurley. I hope you're not having a manic Monday, Michael.
No, I'm happy to say that since I retired, John, most of my Mondays are non-manic.
Ah, that's great. Great to hear. Now, you're a local author and you're going to publish a book, and that's taking place tomorrow night. Do you want to tell us the name of it and a little bit about it?
The book is very simply named Killintyne, Sutton. It's a local history of the Sutton area. And it's a change for me insofar as I'm departing from my native and beloved Ballydoyle, just moving a little bit up the road to Sutton. The book is 144 pages. 16 of those are full colour. So it's I hope it's an attractive book. It will retail at €10 and will be available in the shops in Ballydoyle and hopefully in the bookshop in Sutton. You can get them from myself as well. I'll give you the details at the end if you like.
Yeah, please tell us a bit about the book.
Well, Sutton is a strange place, really, insofar as Sutton isn't where it always was. The original Sutton was a tiny little village or a hamlet around near Red Rock, where the Martello Tower is.
Yeah.
And what we know as Sutton Cross today didn't actually exist. There was nothing there, because there was no road running through it up until Telford brought the main Dublin Howth Road to link up with the London Holyhead Road in the early 1800s. So the actual road from along the coast from Kilbarrick went stuck to the coast right around as far as where the Catholic Church in Sutton is today. And it's only in the last 150 years that that road has been eroded by the easterly tides and winds.
Yeah, the salt and the seawater and all that.
So, in fact, if you walk on the beach there behind the Claremont, behind the Marine Hotel, you will notice that many of the houses have their front door facing the sea, which, of course, at one stage was facing the roadway. So it's a little anomaly. So then I've taken various aspects of Sutton. You know, I've taken some of the houses in Sutton, the Martello Tower at Red Rock, which has a history all of its own. I've a chapter on Ireland's Eye, which was and is part of the Howth estate. But I've a full chapter also on a racehorse who was very well known in the Sutton area, and that is Jack McDowell's Cahoo, the famous Cahoo that won the much talked about Grand National in the Mist in 1947.
It
was maintained that Cahoo, who was a total rank outsider at 100-1, that he only went around once, and that he hid until he saw them coming the second time and then went on to pass the winning post. But in fact, we prove in this book that he went around twice, because we have a photograph of him crossing Beecher's Brook on each circuit of the track. But he was a very well loved horse in the village, probably because everyone made money on him. Everyone had bets on Cahoo, and then of course Jack McDowell left money in all the local hotels and hostelries for drinks for the local people. And of course Jack, being a betting man himself, had a little flutter of £500 on the horse.
That would have been an awful lot of money in 1947, wasn't it?
But you must remember, the McDowells weren't poor people. They were the proprietors of the Happy Ring House, the jewellers in Dublin.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So there would have been money in the family. We talk about Warren House, a beautiful house that stood where St. Fintan's School is today. A house, funnily enough, that had a reputation of being haunted for many years. And there's another little chapter we've brought in about Fairy Hill Hospital, which will ring bells for a lot of Dublin people. It was a little hospital started by Dr. Bob Collis in the early 40s, and it was a house that had been bought by the people of Howth and Sutton, who got together and bought this house with the intention of providing accommodation for children who were made homeless and family and orphaned by the bombings, wartime bombings in England. But in fact, that never materialised, and the hospital, which was called Fairy Hill, was staffed almost entirely by local people on a voluntary basis. But children were brought, poorer children from the tenement areas of Dublin, were brought out to Fairy Hill for maybe 5 or 6 months and were fed and treated well and built up. Many of them were very run down when they arrived there. In fact, many of them were also suffering a little from effects of TB, and that was also treated there. But perhaps their greatest claim to fame was when Dr. Collis, in 1945, he was one of the first doctors to go into the Belsen concentration camp after the Nazi outrages. And he brought back five children from Belsen to Fairy Hill, where they spent some time before being adopted by Jewish families in Ireland. Some of them stayed in Ireland, some of them didn't. So that was a little effect of our area helping some effect on, in, to some degree, the people who had been displaced. One of the little children was a child, a baby who was picked up on the gutter of a road in Berlin by a truck driver. And it was never established who he was, where he came from, or whose he was. So that child grew up with a totally unknown background. And so that's kind of the type of thing I'm looking at in this book. The churches, the schools, tennis club, rugby club, and as I said earlier, some of the houses. There are some outstanding fine houses in the Sutton area, particularly Sutton House itself, around by Red Rock, which has quite a history. It was at one stage the home of the Jemison family, the whiskey distillers.
Okay, and I'm just reading here, there's over 30 photographs and 200 illustrations. Did you illustrate the book yourself, Michael?
No, let me just clarify that, John. There are, when I say over 200 illustrations, there are over 200 photographs, but there are over 30, there are in fact 36 colour photographs.
I see, yes,
yeah.
Okay.
The whole centre section of the book is a colour section of 16 pages with two or more photographs to each page. And some of them are old photographs, some are contemporary of my, from my own camera. We have colour photographs of Warren House again. We have a colour photograph, quite a rare one, of Cahoo in 1947 being paraded at the RDS to be showed off after winning the Grand National. And
there would be people in the area that would remember that, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Jack McDowell's sister-in-law, Mrs. Herbert McDowell, she is rather elderly now, but a very sprightly lady, and she is living in Portmarnock, in Wheatfield in Portmarnock. So, like, the family even are very much still in evidence in the area. But if you ask an older person in Sutton what would be their greatest horse racing memory, they will almost invariably say Cahoo winning the Grand National.
Yeah.
We also have a chapter written by a friend of mine who sadly died a couple of months ago at the age of 97. He lived in Australia, but he was actually brought up on the Borough Road in Sutton. A man called Lawrence Hamilton Liddell, a man who has written many books himself indeed, mainly on transport, shipping and railway themes. But Lawrence had, to the time he died, an incredible memory. And he wrote for me a whole series, about 12 pages, of his memories of growing up in Sutton. And today, like, we're talking about, he was in Sutton between 1915 and 1923. And it's an incredible record of things like travelling tradesmen coming to the house on Borough Road, delivering paraffin oil, bread, laundry, all by horse-drawn transport, and the taxi being horse-drawn vis-a-vis car as well.
Yeah.
And this was first class, first generation memory. He wasn't referring to any books. It was all from his own memories. So I have a chapter of Lawrence's thoughts condensed into a smaller work than he gave me. So that's valuable for people living in the area. There was also a magnesium works around near Red Cross, near Red Rock, where they mined various minerals, manganese ore and oxide and all kinds of things for the chemical industry. And they were exported from boats from Sutton. They were put onto small boats and the ore was brought out into the bay and then transferred to large ships for transshipment to England and Scotland, where they made various chemicals like chlorine salts and Epsom salts, stuff like that, and also a chemical that was strangely enough added to glass to give it purity and take the sort of iron reddish colour out of glass that was there without the addition of this. So this came from Sutton, and that industry thrived for quite a while, but it was gone again, probably gone by about 1860, 1870. So we also had the Coast Guard, who had a station in Sutton, and what else was I going to say there? We had, of course, Carr Castle in Sutton. Carr Castle. Carr Castle, C-O-R-R, yeah. As in Carr Bridge, and they're both situated in the townland of Carrstown, which is part of Sutton. It's a ruined castle that has been conserved now in the last few years. It's behind Uffington Manor Apartments. There's some evidence to suggest that it may have been a one-time residence of the Lord of Howth before he was in Howth Castle. And there's certainly sufficient evidence to state that it was the home of a family called the Whites of St. Catherine.
The Whites of St. Catherine,
who were largely a Kilester family, one of whom married into the Howth family. So this little castle was there, and it's still there to this day, little known, and I have included a chapter on it. That's about it now, as I said to you at the start. It's 144 pages. It's with over 200 illustrations and 36 of them in full colour. And it relies on the memories of some people like I mentioned, Lawrence Liddell, people like Margot Hanley in Sutton, who were extremely generous with their memories and their family's photographs. And it's available, as I said, in the shops, will be available from Wednesday morning in the shops in Baldoyle and hopefully in the bookshop at Sutton Cross and any other shops I can get it into. It will retail at €10, but it can be got from myself, and my address is 48 Abbey Park, Baldoyle. That's 48 Abbey Park, Baldoyle.
Okay.
Or telephone me at 087-254-0474. 087-254-0474. And I'll arrange to get copies to anybody who wants them.
There's also a website here.
Yeah, my own. Well, it's not a website, but I have an email address, which is mjhurley48@aircom.net. mjhurley48@aircom.net.
Okay, and that launch is tomorrow night.
The launch is tomorrow night. It's been performed by the mayor of Fingal, Keane O'Callaghan, who's very kindly agreed to do it. And it's in the race course in Grange Road, Baldoyle. That's beside Lidl for people who may be a little bit unfamiliar with the area. It's at 8 o'clock through the courtesy of Christy Taylor of the Racecourse Inn. And I would love to see the whole country come along, and everybody is more than welcome to a cup of tea and a glass of wine with, under the hospitality of the Taylors. And I'd love to see loads of people there.
Okay, well, it sounds fascinating, Michael, and thank you very much for coming on this morning and talking
to us
about
it. My pleasure, John, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.